It amazes me, the deeply awareness that I find in one of the presidents of the tech giant, Mr. Brad Smith, when he pointed out that every technological artifact could be a tool or could be a weapon. Please, welcome Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, good morning. It's my pleasure to be here. It's my honor to represent Microsoft and to be here with these other such distinguished speakers. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the Rome call for AI ethics, and I wanted to say a little bit about why it matters, about why it matters, in fact, so much. I think it matters in part because, almost to state the obvious, artificial intelligence is going to change the world. And before we go too far forward with it, we need to think hard about the kind of impact we want to have. I think there's few places that are better to have this conversation than here in Rome. And I think it's especially fitting that this has been framed the way it is, to talk about it in terms of the Renaissance. Because after all, the Renaissance changed the world. Indeed, for many of us around the world, we might think of the Renaissance first in terms of art, but as you can see, the Renaissance in so many ways changed almost everything. It led over the course of two centuries to inventions that we still take for granted today. It changed the way we work with each other. It changed the economy and the way the world works. It did more than that. It changed the way we were given the opportunity to think about the world. When we think about Gutenberg and his printing press, and we think about the fact that, of course, the first thing it was used to do was to print a Bible. A Bible that gave new power to humanity to read about religion. And of course, it wasn't just Gutenberg. It was a series of inventors, including Minucius, who took Gutenberg's invention, and like so many aspects of technology, he made it better. With new typefaces, he started to make things like a very heavy Gutenberg Bible smaller and more portable. In many ways, they invented the world that we live in today. And we continue to change that world as we democratize information and we put it in the hands of more people around the world. Of course, that was the Renaissance, and the Renaissance was followed starting in the middle of the 1700s with, in many ways, the era in which we still live today. Waves of industrial revolution. When you look back at the history of technology, what you fundamentally find is that every era has many inventions, but so many of them are grounded in one invention that enables so much else. First, it was the steam engine, and then it was electricity, and then it was the combustion engine, and then the microprocessor. I think in many ways we should think about artificial intelligence as not just the newest step, but another one of these defining, fundamental, enabling technologies. In many ways, I think it's right to think about the artificial intelligence as the combustion engine of the 21st century. The combustion engine, more than any single invention, remade the world a century ago. Between 1910 and 1940, it of course made possible for people to drive and to have a car. But on farms, it led to the invention of the tractor. For the movement of goods, it made it possible to have a truck. It brought people literally closer together around the world because it made it possible to invent an airplane. It changed the face of war because it made it possible to invent a tank. It touched every aspect of humanity. And I think in a similar way, the era we are now entering, an era that you can think of in the year 2020, we can recognize that over the next three decades, between now and the middle of this century, artificial intelligence is likely to have a similarly and sweeping impact. In so many ways, it not only will change the world, it will impact the world, and not just in ways that are good. Although the good will be powerful, in so many respects, artificial intelligence will enable a new generation of opportunity. It probably will become the most powerful tool in the world. It will become a tool that will enable us to do things that we only dream of doing today. It should enable us over the course of the next 3 decades to find the cure for cancer. We desperately need artificial intelligence to do what we believe it can do, and that is help us ensure the sustainability of the planet. In every field of human knowledge, much like we learned from the Renaissance itself, artificial intelligence will fuel the quest for knowledge. But what we also know from the history of technology, as Monsignor Paglia mentioned, is that every tool poses new challenges as well. Artificial intelligence will generate a new generation of challenges. It probably will become the planet's most formidable weapon. We're already seeing this around the world. We're seeing AI used to fuel more powerful cyber attacks, whether it is by criminals or by certain nation states. We're seeing artificial intelligence put to work in various parts of the world to fuel mass surveillance. Mass surveillance that poses new questions and challenges for the rights of people. We're seeing artificial intelligence unleash a new generation in terms of the automation of more jobs. We will see new jobs created, but we will see many existing jobs changed or even displaced. So like every tool, it is and will be a weapon. And because artificial intelligence will be the world's most powerful tool, almost by definition, it will also become the planet's most formidable weapon. That's why I believe it's so important that we also think about this as a clarion call about the need for a new generation for ethics. As Monsignor Paglia mentioned, as Pope Francis has stated, this is an important moment for the history and the future of humanity. That's why today is so important. That's why I believe the Rome call for AI ethics is so important. Why does this matter? It matters for many reasons. But I think the first thing to reflect upon is that the Rome call is about creating a broad community. I come from a company that invents technology, a company that works with a company like IBM, that represents a broad community and industry that is creating technology. And yet I would be the first to say that this technology is too important to be left solely to the people who will create it. Because it will affect all of us, we need to work together in a community that represents all of us. I think it's of fundamental importance that the Catholic Church is a voice for humanity in thinking about the future of technology. Yeah. The world needs the Catholic Church to be a voice for humanity. The world needs the Catholic Church to be a voice that will welcome as it is everyone else to this broad table and this big conversation. This is a conversation that will need to bring together the world's great religions, organizations like the United Nations, organizations like the European Parliament, the great NGOs and representatives of civil society, as well as those of us across the business community and the technology sector. That is the first reason that I believe the Rome call for AI ethics matters so much. But it also matters because of what it says. I think that the Rome call starts with something of fundamental importance. It starts with people. And as it says, what really defines us as people is that we are endowed with reason and conscience. The future of humanity requires that both of these come together. And as the Rome Call recognizes, what we need to do is exercise our reason and conscience to safeguard the rights and the freedoms of individuals. The future of humanity needs to be protected one person at a time, with the recognition that each of us is an individual and has something unique and special. I think the Rome Call is also important because it connects two fundamentally important concepts of our time. We need both to serve and protect human beings and the environment in which they live, the planet on which we live. This is not a phrase that we would have seen put together in this way if we were meeting a decade ago. But as we think about the decade ahead, it has become fundamentally clear that the protection of humanity requires not only the protection of human beings, but the planet as well. Ultimately, as the Rome Call makes clear, we need to think about digital rights in an AI era, the rights of people in an era of artificial intelligence. And as the Rome Call states, there are six fundamental rights that are important to the future of humanity and this planet. We need to ensure that artificial intelligence is designed and deployed in ways that are inclusive of all people, that are impartial and fair, that are reliable and safe, that are guided by the need for people to be secure and to have their privacy protected, and perhaps most broadly, to be transparent so that we as people can understand how machines are making decisions and to ensure that machines remain responsible, accountable, if you will, to humanity. These are the new rights of our time. And the Rome Call underscores the importance of our working together to advance them. Another aspect of the Rome Call that I think is of great importance is that it recognizes that the protection of people and the advancement of these rights needs to start with education. It will require a new approach to education to reach a new generation of people. In some ways, it's most obvious to think about this as reaching the next generation, the youngest generation of people, but the truth is, we are entering a new era in which we will all need to learn new skills. And as the Rome Call makes clear, this isn't just about skills relating to new technology. It isn't just about data science. It isn't just about computer science. It is fundamentally about the liberal arts. It is about ethics. It is about humanity as well. Ultimately, it calls for a new generation of learning. And that, too, requires a broad conversation. When I step back and I think about all of this, I'm constantly reminded of an important speech that was given almost six decades ago. It was a speech given in the midst of a new focus on a new generation of technology and what it would mean for people. It was a speech given in 1962 at a university, at Rice University in Houston, Texas. It was a speech given by the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. The speech is remembered to this day because it was a speech in which he called on the people of the United States to reach the moon before the end of the decade. That is what people remember the speech for. But there is another line in the speech that I think speaks even more powerfully to us today. Because during the speech, President Kennedy uttered the words, "Technology has no conscience." When you think about it, technology never has had a conscience. Think about all of those inventions from the Renaissance. Think about the Gutenberg Bible. Think about the combustion engine. Think about what it did both to bring people together and to build a tank. Technology has no conscience. Its use will never be defined by the products themselves. Technology has no conscience, but people do. And we do. That is what matters. That is what the Rome call for AI ethics requires that we keep in mind. In the history of humanity, I might argue that in some ways, we are unique. Why? We are the first generation of people in the history of people to create machines that can make decisions that previously could only be made by people. The future of humanity rests on our ability to get this right. If we come together and we make decisions wisely and effectively, then future generations will benefit. And if we fall short or fail, every generation that follows will pay the price. That is why this moment is so important. That is why the Rome call for AI ethics is vital. That is why the voice of the Catholic Church and all of the voices of humanity need to be heard. Technology has no conscience, but people do, and we must. We must call not just on our ability to reason, but on our conscience. That is what will help shape the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You need it?